I live on Mount Carmel, and I have several places where I get on the mountain and seek the Lord. And one of them happens to be next to a huge cannon. And it was the last cannon of the Ottoman Empire's occupation of the Holy Land. And it was the British Army, led by General Allenby, that came up and fought the battle on Mount Carmel and drove out the Turks and the Germans. And praise God that Allenby was a believer and read his Bible. And we have a great heritage in many ways from the British people in Israel, where I live and serve the Lord. And you have a wonderful heritage. And as I've been seeking the Lord about these meetings in England, the Lord downloaded to me this phrase: I have a new mandate for England. And so I want to pray into this now. Father, I thank you for your word. And Jesus, thank you for the Spirit and Holy Spirit. I thank you for your anointing. I pray for a new anointing, a fresh anointing on myself and every ear and heart in this place. Lord, I ask you by your grace and your goodness that your word would not fall by the wayside, that your word would not fall on stony ground, that your word would not fall and the thorns come up and choke it. And Lord, I pray that your word would fall on fertile soil, open hearts, and I'm believing for the hundredfold of breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know, these are amazing times that we live in. We are in the times of the restoration of all things. In Acts chapter 3, verse 21, Peter prophesied that Jesus will remain in heaven until the restoration of all things that were spoken of by the mouth of the prophets since the world began. Everything that has been prophesied in the Bible is in a period of restoration. The Holy Spirit has been restored. Praise God for the Welsh revival. Praise God for what's happened in the 20th century. The fivefold ministry of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers has been restored. Holiness, preaching the pure word of God. The cross, the blood of Jesus Christ. All of these great truths that what true faith is all about, that had been put aside or lost or got all confused over the centuries, they're being restored for those people who have hungry hearts, open hearts, and want to move in to God's purposes in these very last days. One of the things that's being restored is the mystery of the one new man of Jew and Gentile in one body as a dwelling place for God and the Spirit. It's in Ephesians chapter 2. And when I speak in certain nations and places, the pastor sometime will say, I have to go read Ephesians chapter 2 again. It's so simple. Jews and Gentiles in one body. That's how it all began in Jerusalem. That's how it all, for 300 years, it was always Jews and Gentiles together. But then the church fathers and other people did certain things, and all that got lost. But today, it's happening again. And I'm blessed to be able to serve the Lord on Mount Carmel. Our worship team is Jews and Arabs and Russians and Ukrainians and Americans and Germans on one worship team. We are the one new man band. Hallelujah. And when Jews and Gentiles will come together and lay down this wall of partition that was broken down by Jesus, by his body and by his blood, there is awesome blessing and there's awesome anointing, and the end time revival will be people that see this and understand it and move into it and participate in it. So I want to read for a moment from Joel chapter 2. You know, one of the things that's being restored is the spirit and power of Elijah. At the end of After the transfiguration, Peter, James, and John were there, and they started to ask Jesus after Moses and Elijah were gone on the Mount of Transfigurations. And they said, why do the scribes say that Elijah will come? And Jesus said this, Elijah is coming. Surely I say to you, Elijah is coming, and he will restore all things. There's something about the spirit and power of Elijah in this end time restoration. The very end of the book of Malachi, the old covenant, it says this, before the great and awesome day of the Lord. It's not talking about John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was dead when Jesus said that Elijah will restore all things. It's about us. It's about the end time church. He says, before the great and awesome day of the Lord, I will send you the prophet Elijah, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and turn the children's hearts to the fathers, lest I come and strike the land, earth, with a curse. Now, we live in a fatherless world. Half the people in America don't have a father, or we have a ministry, of course, in Israel to single women, single mothers. I'm sure you do. And God is looking for fathers. You have many teachers, but you have not many fathers. Now, he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. Do you know that there's a great movement in Britain, in Germany, in Europe, of people that got saved in Africa or in other nations where you sent missionaries, and now they feel a debt to Europe, a debt to England, and they're coming back to England to bring the gospel to England, and it's the children bringing it back to the fathers because your fathers went out and brought it to the children in third world nations, in India and other places. But it's also about the fathers are the Jewish people, the patriarchs. They gave us the Bible. They gave us the Messiah. Where would we be without the Bible? And so the hearts of the fathers, I'm here as a representative to Israel to tell you that my heart and our hearts, the Jews that are getting saved, the Arabs that are getting saved, our hearts are going out to England. And as your hearts turn to us and we come together in this, we'll move together in the spirit and power of Elijah. Now, it's much more than that. I don't have time to go into that. I have a book about it out there if you still have some of it. But this whole, we're in the time of the restoration of all things. Until it's all restored, he's not coming back. The restoration of Israel is part of it. He says, I will bring them back in unbelief. And on the mountains of Israel, I'll pour clean water on them. I'll put my spirit in them. I'll cause them to walk in my ways. And then the nations, including England round about, shall know that I am the Lord. Inquire of me if I will not do this for you, and I will fill your congregation with flocks of sacrificial men and women. That's what it says, Ezekiel 36. It's happening today. We are in this moment, this Kairos moment, this prophetic moment today. Hallelujah. What a wonderful time to be alive. Imagine. We are now walking in the things that the prophets foretold. Us, you and me. What a responsibility. What a privilege. To walk carefully and clearly and under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So in Joel chapter 2, verse 28, I'm sure it's one of your favorite verses. It's the verse that saved me. I had read this and I said, well, if this is true and it happens to me, I'll follow Jesus. Well, it happened to me. I got knocked down under the power of the Holy Spirit in a recording studio in Times Square years ago when I was an actor. I couldn't talk. I just blubbered and cried and wept. And I met Jesus, and he was all light, and I was dirty. He saved me. He took all my guilt off of me. I started praying in tongues, and my whole life changed. Hallelujah. And that's what England needs. Look what it says. Verse 28, it shall come to pass afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. I know you're after revival. I know you want to see a move of God in this nation. I know about your church. Penny Lee works for us. She, one of your people who's, she runs our office for our drug rehab for Arabs and Jews. There's a kesher, there's a connection here. And I know you want revival as desperately as we want it. So it says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my maid servants and men servants, I'll pour out my spirit on those days. This is what we need. We need such an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that people will walk in this place and get knocked down by the power of the Spirit and say that surely God is in the place. And that's what we're crying out for on Mount Carmel. It's starting to happen. We've had some healings recently from cancer and other things. Jewish people and Muslim people and Arab people coming in going, wow, what is this? What's happening here? The presence of God is because we have a one new man band of Jews and Arabs and Gentiles. We have an open heaven that we've built in this skylight. And we believe it's a symbol that God's going to send the fire again. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. What made Great Britain great? You know, when you read the history of Great Britain, I love England. I grew up in America, but my mother's people came from England before the American Revolution. They go back centuries. My father's mother came from Ireland during the potato famine. He was an orphan. I don't know where the name Davis comes from, his father, but everybody in Wales says I'm Welsh, so I don't know but it doesn't matter. But I have this heart for Great Britain. When I was a kid, I love the stories of Robin Hood. My mother got me a book, and she made me a Robin Hood outfit. Lincoln green with the cap and the bow and arrow and the whole deal. I had the whole neighborhood. I was directing plays already. Said, you're Friar Tuck, and you're Little John, and you're Alan a Dale, and you're Maid Marian. And, you know, we would do this whole Robin Hood thing. I loved stealing from the rich and giving to the poor and all that stuff. Then I became an actor, and Shakespeare became my god. Then I met Jesus, and Jesus became my God. Hallelujah. Amen. But this wonderful, rich heritage that you have. Great Britain, where the sun never set. You know, when you study the history of it, and I know about colonialism and all things, bad things that happened and all that. But the great heroes of your nation, of your faith, that were burned at the stake that we might have this. Praise God. It's the greatness of what Britain was once. And that, Tyndale and Wycliffe and then the great Puritans and John Owen. And John Owen, this great teacher, I love to read what he was said. I mean, they got the Bible finally in English and it wasn't in Latin anymore. And these people started to die for the word of God and take it out across the islands of Great Britain. And then Wesley and Whitefield, they came to America. Well, it was the 13 colonies in those days. And everywhere they went, here would come George Whitefield on his horse. And he would start preaching off the 10,000 people would come. The racetracks closed down. The pubs closed down. And you brought the great awakening to America. And America needs a great awakening again, I'll tell you. But it's the legacy of what you have that is so great that made Britain, so this island. Shakespeare calls it this Emerald Isle, this England, this island sending out. I mean, you changed the world. I thrilled to when I got saved and I would read about Carey and Amy Carmichael and taking on the child prostitution in Calcutta and changing the laws of India. And I read about Hudson Taylor, his first wife when she was dying in China. He looked at her and he said, you know, he's burying his kids in China. Now, China's the greatest revival the world's ever seen. And he said to his wife, honey, is there anything you want to confess? Is there anything? And she said, there hasn't been a cloud between me and my Jesus for, lo, these 15 years. And brothers and sisters, I want to walk like that. This legacy of you going out and changing the world from these little islands, this little place on the map. I mean, what an awesome, awesome history that you have. Charles Spurgeon, you know the history more than I do. The legions of intercessors. The revivals that changed the world. This wonderful legacy. But at the same time, this great pure stream of the Wesleys and the others. There was also a contaminated stream that went along with it in people that called themselves Christians. In your place, in your nation, it happened in Norwich. It started in Norwich. The blood libel began. Have you ever heard of that? I was in Norwich a couple years ago. And at the end, I prophesied to get all the pastors together and start a start a day of prayer in the park or in the town hall. You know what? They do it. They're doing it now. Praise God. But it was at Norwich that this story came that the Jews take non-Jewish children, kill them, take the blood, and make matzah for Passover. And the Jews were eating matzah with blood in it. Now we think, well, that was the medieval time. That was superstition. It went all over Europe. And thousands of Jews have died because of it. You can go to York. You can see where they were burned in the synagogue. There's a plaque there. And so at this great, awesome legacy of Great Britain, at the same time, these terrible things were being done to the Jewish people by people that called themselves Christians. Now you think, well, that was the past. We're not like that anymore. Well, do you know what's happening today? That story, the blood libel, has been translated into Arabic. It is all over the Islamic world, and the Muslims believe it. It's on television in moderate Islamic nations. It was in Jordan recently. We have a peace treaty with Jordan. It was in Egypt recently. And so a whole generation of Muslims are believing that Jews are these bloody, bloodthirsty people that kill children and take blood and make matzah out of it. You know that Jesus was at a Passover Seder. That's what the Lord's Supper was all about. Jesus said, I've greatly desired to keep this Passover with you. Well, there's an upper room prepared. They were celebrating the Passover when he instituted the new covenant in his blood and bread. So because of things that have come out of Europe, they have now drenched the Islamic world from Nigeria to Indonesia, all across the Middle East. And so it's fanned the flames of hatred and incitement and lies. And it's where I live. The Crusaders, when they left your country in Germany and France and others, when the ones that got to Jerusalem, you know what they did? They got all the Jews, put them in the great synagogue, and burned them to death in Jerusalem and walked around with crosses singing, Jesus, we adore thee. Now the Jews, they know their history. Why would a Jew want Jesus? They think Jesus is the enemy for the most part. I don't have time to go into all this, but you can trace it. And it was a consistent 1,700-year incitement against Jewish people, mostly from Christian nations. In the Holocaust, one of the camps on Christmas Eve, they took the Jewish kids, children, from a mother and threw them in a fire outside the gas chambers and burned them alive and took the parents or the mother into the gas chambers. And the reason they did that was to save a little gas. And as they did it, Catholics and Lutherans, Protestants and Catholics, stood together, some of them wore crosses, and they sang, Silent Night, Holy Night. Why would a Jew want Jesus? And it's what the church has done to them. You say, well, what does this have to do with Britain? Well, in 1917, when General Allenby, who was a Bible-believing Christian, was reading the Word of God and saw prophecy being fulfilled, as he led the British and the New Zealand and the Australian forces up to Beersheba, they ran out of water in the desert. And these Aussies and these New Zealanders, they call them the light horsemen. They came to Allenby, General Allenby, and said, "We can take Beersheba. We will ride right against the British, the German, and the Turkish machine guns, and we'll jump over their trenches, and we'll get to the Seven Wells. Beersheba means Seven Wells in Hebrew, and we'll get to the water." And he went, "You will?" They brought their own horses. You know that? I mean, the greatness of British stock there's this wonderful character in your people. And these Australians and these New Zealanders says, yeah, we'll charge the machine guns and some of us will get killed, but we'll jump over and we'll get the water. So they did. I've seen a picture of it. A German took a picture of it from his machine gun. And you see three lines of these guys riding with their hats, you know, the Aussie hats. And they're riding toward these machine guns. And it was in the middle of the afternoon, took them by surprise. The machine guns, the sights were too high. Most of them started shooting over them. And all of a sudden, these horses were leaping over the trenches. Some of the guys died there and were fighting hand to hand. And the Germans brought in an airplane and tried to shoot them, and it was too late. And before dark, the British Army was in Beersheba and had the water they needed. The Turks fled, the Germans fled. And Jerusalem was open. And Allenby came in on his horse with all his troops. And Allenby said, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came on a donkey. I'm getting off my horse and I'm walking through Jaffa Gate. They took Jerusalem. Hallelujah. You see, there's this dichotomy going on of this wonderful, wonderful stream of true believers. So after World War I, 1920, Britain was given a mandate by the League of Nations. And the mandate was for the land that was then called Palestine, which included what is today called Jordan, and they were to make a homeland for the Jewish people. Your nation was given that mandate by the League of Nations and then the United Nations. You know, I was thinking about this recently. There has never been a nation, a Gentile nation, who has been given such a holy mandate as you. England was given the mandate to help the fleeing Jews from the persecuted areas of Europe to get back to their ancient homeland so that they would turn to Jesus and Jesus would come back. The restoration of all things. The Jews would be back in the land. They're going to look on him whom they pierced. They're going to weep as an only son. There's going to be such a mourning. Now thousands of Jews have come to the Lord. We think we have about 10,000 Jewish believers in the land now. But the whole nation is going to meet him. It's going to be a national. And the whole world is going to be blessed as it's life from the dead. And so many British wonderful believers have known about this and prayed about this and prophesied it and written about it. You should read Spurgeon's message on the dry bones of Ezekiel 37. He says, don't play treason with God's word. This says the whole house of Israel. That's what it means. Praise God, it's for you too. But after you borrowed it, put it back where you found it and let us have it, okay? You got a valley of dry bones around here too, but it's originally it's about what's happening in Israel today. So here was this great army that came. And there I am standing at this cannon where I live. I live a block from the cannon on Mount Carmel. And I'm going, God, it was right here. Allenby and his troops came up there. Some of them died there. And so I feel like where I pray, all these things happened. So they get the mandate. And the mandate, within 2 years, your government lopped off 75% of the land that they had been given and called it Transjordan. Today it's Jordan. They divided the land, 75% of it. So the mandate was to create a place where the Jews could be safe, because the Jews weren't safe in Europe anymore. The Jews don't feel safe in Europe today. Orthodox Jews are afraid to walk down the streets of Paris. But your nation was called by God. It wasn't just a mandate of some government people. It was to be part of the restoration of what God is doing at the end. And when the Jews turn to Jesus, he's coming back. And his feet are going to be on the Mount of Olives. Hallelujah. It's about the revival of the church. It's about the restoration of all things. It's about the return of the Messiah. It's about a new heaven and a new earth. That's what it's all about. The greatest trust ever given to a Gentile nation was given to Great Britain. How did they do? They broke their oath. Instead of helping the gates open, they closed the gates on the Jewish people. Right where I live, I stand there, I pray, I stand on the roof of a British machine gun bunker looking at the Mediterranean Sea on Mount Carmel. There's a radar station above me and a lighthouse. There was a battle there because the British built it. And they were finding all these fishing ships, all of these ships that were coming from Europe, fleeing the Nazis and fleeing the Holocaust. And the British started stopping them and capturing them and invading their boats. And there's a prison right at the foot of a mountain where I live, where they put them. And stopped the flow of the Jewish people coming back to Israel. It was called Palestine in those days. In the time of Jesus, it was Israel. Read your New Testament. It's Israel. It was in 135 AD that the Romans changed the name to Palestina and drove the Jews out of Jerusalem and started sacrificing pigs and doing all kind of idol worship after they destroyed the temple, and called it Palestina after the names of the ancient enemy of the Hebrew people, the Philistines. And the Philistines came from Crete. They were seagoing people. The Palestinians have come from what is today Saudi Arabia. They're Arabs from the Middle East. And so it was called Palestine, and your nation was given this mandate, this command by the League of Nations to create a place where the Jews could be safe. Well, they divided God's land, called it Transjordan. They scattered his people. They restricted immigration. They closed the gates right where I live. I weep up there. I was telling Pastor Clive, the Lord's been waking me up at 3 a.m. I've been weeping for your nation. I started weeping in the worship. I see these. Where's the worship team? Man, God's call is on you guys. This, what I'm telling you, this history, this was a generation ago. This is a new generation. This is the Joshua generation. This is the Elisha generation. This is the Timothy generation. God has a second mandate for your nation, for your people. The scholars tell us, some think as many as 2 million Jews were turned back. I don't know how many it was, but it was hundreds of thousands and well over 1 million by the British. And they ended up in the camps. We have an elderly Holocaust survivors in our congregation. It's a miracle they got saved, because where was God in the Holocaust and all the rest of it? And the British put her in prison for 5 years, captured her as a young lady as she arrived at Haifa in Mauritius, and kept her out of the promised land. So this dividing of the land, look at, we're in Joel chapter 2, look at chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, in those days at that time, Joel 3:1, I will bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem. I will gather all nations and bring them down in the valley of Jehoshaphat. That means judgment. And I will enter into judgment with them there on account of my people, my heritage, whom they have scattered among the nations, and they've also divided up my land. This is serious, serious, solemn business with God's heritage. And God called your nation. He's not finished with Britain. God wants to bless Great Britain. God wants to give you a new mandate. God wants to redeem what happened in the past. It was almost 70 years ago. That's a biblical generation. It's a new generation. Hallelujah. Stewards to assist Holocaust survivors to their ancient homeland to prepare the return of the Lord to Jerusalem. Britain lost the greatest empire the world has ever known. I don't come here to point the finger, but I know great British prophets who say it's because of what they did to the Jews. Derek Prince said it. You can't touch God's inheritance. Look, God chose to do it this way. We may not agree with why he's doing it or why he chose this people. But look, I don't argue with him. He's sovereign. And we got the truth here. We know what it says. So there's a new mandate. Here it is, verse 9, chapter 3, verse 9. Proclaim among the nations, that's what I'm doing here, my friends, brothers and sisters. Prepare for war. We are in a spiritual war, and you're in a spiritual war. And wake up the mighty men. That's what I'm here to tell you. God has come here to wake up mighty men and women of war, to pick up the second mandate, the mandate for your nation to once finally stand beside the Lord of the whole earth for his purposes in the last days. When you look at Zechariah chapter 4, there's a menorah there, seven-branch candlestick. It means the fullness of the Holy Spirit. There are two olive trees there. But the prophet had to be woken up. And the Lord wants to wake up the mighty men. He wants to wake up the mighty women of warfare to wake up. It's now. It's now. It's now. The signs of the times are everywhere. And so the prophet says, what are the two olive trees? And he hears, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of armies. Grace, grace, grace to it. He hears, don't despise the day of small beginnings. All these wonderful truths that we just adhere to and God drives us and fills us with. They're all there. And then he says, but what are the two olive trees? And he says, that finally, the sons of fresh oil or daughters of fresh oil that stand with the Lord of the whole earth, not just Israel. It's the end of the vision. And he sees these two olive branches dripping the golden, pure, virgin olive oil into the church of Jesus Christ. Now, what are these two olive trees? I'm going to read from Romans 11. Wake up the mighty men. Hallelujah. Wake up the church, Jesus, to see the signs of the time. Romans 11 is about two olive trees. If you're not a Jew, you are a wild olive tree. Jewish people are cultivated olive trees. We need both. We need the olive oil from both. If we want the fullness of revival, if we want all seven, which is completion, which is perfection, we have got to adhere to this. We've got to see it. We've got to participate in it. Now look at Romans 10, first of all, verse 19. But I say, did Israel not know? He's talking about natural Israel. I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation and move you to anger by a foolish nation. Do you know that Britain is supposed to be provoking the Jews to jealousy? The Gentiles are supposed to provoke the Jews to jealousy so the Jews will come back into the... Then the two olive trees will come together. The root is Jesus Christ. We'll have the fullness of the Holy Spirit and have this massive end-time revival. And the church has not provoked them to jealousy. They've done the opposite. Now, praise God for this godly stream of Samuel Rutherford and Owen and Spurgeon and the rest of them. My wife, who's a Jew, would never look at Jesus. She went into all the New Age long before I knew her. She did everything you've ever heard of and stuff I never even heard of, trying to find spiritual truth. And one day, she was at her wit's end with her life, and she had this friend who carried a Bible and what was a comedian in New York, an actress. And so she went and knocked on her friend's door. Camille's her name. And said, Camille, can I talk to you? My life doesn't make any sense. And Karen poured out her heart to Camille, who's a Gentile. And then Camille said, would you like to pray? And Karen said, okay, I've tried everything else. I'll try that. She said, Jesus, come into my heart. Take away my sin. She didn't know what sin was. She thought Jesus might have been another higher power, and she'd get some tap into some power or something. Forgive me, save me. She didn't know what being saved meant. And she looked at Camille, her friend, the Gentile, and said, but Camille, this can't be the only way. Camille said, it is. And you know what? The veil fell off her heart and she believed. Because a Gentile provoked her to jealousy who had the peace of God. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. And when we do that and show love to the Jewish people and reach out and cry out and say, God, what we've done, forgive us. We repent for what we've done. We want to move into the restoration of all things. You'll get the new mandate. The mighty men will be woken up. Hallelujah. Look at verse 20. This is for you. Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. You know, your people were worshiping whatever they did at Stonehenge. I don't know what was going on, all this wild, crazy stuff that was going on, but some Jew or some apostle came and started telling the people about Jesus. And now we are supposed to be showing mercy to the Jewish people because they're the one who brought us the gospel. They're the fathers. And the gospel is to the Jew first and not to the Greek. You know, I go to Italy now with this movement of the Holy Spirit in Italy, and they called me, emailed me a couple years ago and said, we've been reading Romans 1:16 and realized the Roman letter was written to the Italians, and we don't know what to do about this, that the gospel is to the Jew first and not to the Greek. What do we do? We missed it for 1,700 years. And these people now love the Jews and have a movement. They're weeping and crying and crying out for the Jews. Show us how to participate in this end time move of God. They're Italians. It's happening all over Europe, as a matter of fact, in different places. Verse 21. But to Israel I say, all day long I've stretched out my hands to a disobedient and stubborn or rebellious people. Can you feel the heart of God? He's been longing for his Jewish people for centuries. Anybody here ever had a prodigal? Or were you a prodigal? You walked away from the Lord, and the father's waiting for the prodigal. Any parent that's gone through something with their child that wasn't walking with the Lord, you know the grief of what that. Can you imagine the father heart of God for centuries holding out his hands, waiting for this moment, the moment we live in, momentous times we're in. Look at verse chapter 11, verse 1. I say then, has God cast away his people? Certainly not. I had 7,000 people in India chant this, yell this, shout this in the Tamil language. Hallelujah. They met Karen, and we taught them one of her Yeshua songs on one of her albums. And I explained to them that the rabbis changed his name from Yeshua to Yeshu. And Yeshu is an acronym, which means in Hebrew, may his name and his memory be blotted out forever. The Antichrist spirit on the ultra-Pharisaic Orthodox against Jesus. 7,000 Indians sitting on a dirt floor in a huge thatch roof place with no walls. We taught him the Yeshua song, Yeshua. I said, he's restoring his name. The reproach on his name is being removed off the Jewish people in Israel. God is starting to save the Jews. They're all weeping and crying out for Israel. The next morning, we drive up in a Jeep, and we hear 7,000 people going, Yeshua, Yeshua. Yeshua means salvation. And this is what's happening in the land today. Listen, I have Arab brothers all over the Middle East. I don't have time to go into it. We meet with them once a year, sometimes twice a year. God is moving all over. There are 20 new churches in Baghdad, evangelical on fire churches. There are 50,000 secret believers in Tehran, Iran. I'm telling you, Islam is starting to crack. Hallelujah. I'm into that too, but that's not what I'm talking about here today. Isaiah 19 is being fulfilled. There's a highway from Egypt all the way into Iraq, up through Israel. I'm right in the middle of my part of the highway on Mount Carmel doing what I'm supposed to be doing. But God is moving all through the Islamic world. I was on the island where the tsunami hit a month later. 20,000 people in that church. Islam was so shaken that Muslims in the largest Muslim nation in the world are now looking at Jesus. There were missionaries everywhere, doctors, nurses, the planes were filled, just going in and showing the love of God to Islam. It's one of the prophetic things that's happening. Every Muslim I spoke to, every young person I spoke to after the meeting had been a Muslim. You should see their worship. Your worship is fabulous. I walked into the presence of God. Hallelujah. God came all over me. I praise God for the anointing in this place. May there be even more of a breakthrough with you guys. The way they were worshiping over there in Singapore, I couldn't preach for an hour. All I could say is, I just found myself going, waves of glory. And every time I'd say it, whoa, this power, this like the mighty wind went through the place. And all these people were shouting and crying and singing. It just went on. They could have gone all night, it seemed like. And they were Muslims. So God is moving in the Islamic world, and we're the one new man is to the Jew first, but we also have Arabs on our worship team. I oversee two Arab congregations, an Ethiopian congregation. It's the one new man. We're all in this together. Hallelujah. Okay, look at chapter 11, verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Talking about the Jews, certainly not. But through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Church, the second mandate, to provoke the Jews to jealousy. To weep for them, to pray for them, to care about them. They have such a wound of rejection. The whole world hates us. Verse 12. If their fall is riches from the world and their failure riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? The riches of the Gentiles. Millions coming to the Lord in China. The gospel's gone forth from Jerusalem. All over the world. Verse 15. If they're being cast away or set aside is the reconciling of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? This is unprecedented revival. This is the final revival, the final great awakening. And it's Jews and Gentiles together. And God is calling you in Britain. You are a cutting-edge church. You are a prophetic church. God wants to take you places you've never been. Praise God for where He brought you. It is a new season. It is a new generation. The generation of before is over. The 70 years is up. It's time now for the Church of Jesus Christ in Britain to stand beside the Lord of the whole earth for the purposes for the Jews and the Muslims and your own nation. And that's where the end time revival will fall. May it be here. Hallelujah. Now look at verse 26. All Israel will be saved, as we have the song. We sing that almost every Shabbat. Hallelujah. The deliverer will come out of Zion and will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Concerning the gospel, their enemies for your sake. But concerning the election, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. They're the fathers. Turn your hearts toward the fathers and pray for them. The gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. It's talking about the call on the Jewish people. Verse 30, for you once were disobedient to God, yet now have obtained mercy through their disobedience. Even so, these also have now been disobedient, that through the mercy shown you, they also may obtain mercy. Brothers and sisters, the Jews need to experience the mercy of God from the church, from the Gentiles. And they're going to turn to Him. It's written, the veils will fall off. There's a veil over their heart. It will fall off. You know what that young lady told me later that led my wife to the Lord after I married Karen? She had prayed for Karen every day for 2 years till she knocked on her door. She prayed her into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Turn to Mark 5 if you're following in your Bible. I'd like to read this. I mentioned this to Pastor Colin. I feel this is a prophetic word for this church. Mark chapter 4, excuse me. I've been praying about this meeting for quite a while, for this church, as well as for England, Britain, United Kingdom. And Mark chapter 4, verse 35. After Jesus taught on the sower, the parable of the sower and the seed, look what happened, verse 35. On the same day, when evening had come, He said, let us cross over to the other side. I believe God is speaking to you individually and to this church, that wherever you've been with the Lord, the night is coming when we cannot work. But it is still light. Hallelujah. Darkness is coming, but there's going to be look, the glory of the latter house is going to be greater than the glory of the first house. I praise God. There's this great revival coming. But you can't stay back where you are. You need to get in the boat with Jesus and let's go to the other side and pick up this new mandate that he wants to lay on the British church for those who have ears to hear. And look what he says, verse 36. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. I believe God is speaking to Kingdom Faith that you are to get in this lead boat to go to the other side where you've never been before. We're deeper with Jesus, further in the Holy Spirit, with an understanding of the end times of Israel and Islam and the church in the last days. And as you go, and there are demons on the other side, there are people that live in the tombs all chained up. There's giants there. But you need to go if you want to move into the mandate that God wants to put upon you and your church. And you know what will happen? All these other little boats will start following you. Satellite churches, people that didn't know, you will be a leader. A leader in picking up this new mandate for your nation and also for us in Israel. Now, I was thinking about this and I had a vision about this. You guys leading in the boat and all these boats going. And then I began to think of all these boats that were bringing the Jews back. There were hundreds of them on the Exodus ship. Maybe you saw the movie or read the book. There were 4,500 Jews on that ship. The British made them go back. They ended up in the camps. You know, the captain of that ship's still alive. I heard him speak recently. He said it became a floating cemetery. We got there, and we had to turn around and go back. 4,000 babies were dying. Babies were being born. They were burying. He was burying people at sea, and there was a Christian minister that was showing him how to do burials at sea. People were, and it was this armada of these little fishing boats, and Jews were running around renting them and buying them in Greece and France and trying to get Jews, and the Jews were walking over the mountains of Germany to get out of there. The Jews walked, you know, I know a man who's a Jewish believer, his grandparents walked from Russia to get there. I know a woman who walked from Syria. They took everything away from her. She's like, recently, not long ago, at the border. I was on the Ebenezer ship when the second to last sailing when we went to Odessa, and the Jews, they were taking their rings and stuff, and this was last year, taking everything they had before they came back to Israel, you know, in Ukraine. It's full of anti-Semitism. But this armada of boats came, and the British destroyers would stop them. Now, some of them got through. Hallelujah. People go out in fishing boats in the middle of the night and bring them in and hide them and get them on a kibbutz and stuff like that. But this armada, but here's your mandate. You can lead a new armada. You can be on that lead boat. You can pick up this mantle and saying, I know it's going to cost. I know that there's anti-Semitism all over Britain. I know that there's anti-Semitism all over Europe. But I'm going to take a stand for what God's doing. And God can bring revival to your city, to your nation, and it can be unprecedented. See, he's always the God of second chances. Yes, the first mandate is a sad, sad tale of your history. But the second mandate, the last mandate, this new mandate, can be a move of the Holy Spirit in your nation that's unprecedented. And let me tell you this, the call is on this generation. It's now. It's now. Look, Hamas is at our door. The things are heating up in Israel like never before. Children in kindergartens in Hamas are told to hate the Jews. There's a whole generation of people that have been brainwashed against the Jewish people. And a lot of that stuff came from Europe and has been translated. Mein Kampf, Hitler's book, is a bestseller in Arabic in the Palestinian territories. It all came from Europe. But God, if you'll take a stand, it can be such a breakthrough in your nation. Now, here's what we need to do. Here's what the mandate is. First of all, you need to perceive it in your heart. Yes, it comes by revelation. Perceive it. Pray it. Pray into it. Pray about it. Proclaim it. That's what I'm doing. Participate in it. Say, Lord, how do we get involved in this? You know, we're the Good Samaritan ministry on Mount Carmel. We don't just say, oh, bless you, you know, hope you get out of drugs and walk away. We pick them up and put them on a donkey. It happens to be a Volkswagen van. But we take it to the House of Victory and we preach the gospel to them, feed them and clothe them. They get saved and Jews come to Jesus and then love Arabs and Arabs come to Jesus and then love each other. And that's what you got to get involved. The church needs to get out of the walls and let's go do the work of the ministry. You need to participate in what's happening in Israel, however the Lord leads you. And you need to persevere and you need to publish it. I praise God that there are a couple people here that are publishing stuff about this. I mean, putting it in books so people can read it, get it on the internet. It's a Joshua generation. It's an Elisha generation. Elisha took that cloak and put it on that young boy, discipled him for 7 years. And it was Elijah did, and then Elisha, the two of them brought in that great revival in northern Israel. Joshua went into the promises of God. It's a Joshua, it's a Caleb generation. It's a people that will say, yeah, there are mountains. You know, this silence of the church during the Holocaust, it's the fear of Islam. It's the same fear of that was on the church about the Nazis. Listen, Islam needs to know the love of God. 6 million Jews were sent to the camps, and yet Europe invited in 30 million Muslims. I mean, look at the Trojan horse is in the camp, is in your city. It's Islam. And you need to be crying out to God for these people. When a Muslim gets saved, there's no word in the Quran that means God is father. You should see a Muslim when they get saved. He's my father? We brought a Muslim drug addict prostitute off the streets of Haifa into our women's refuge. The first night, she had two visions of Jesus. He was standing at the foot of her bed. He looked exactly the way he does in Revelation chapter 1. She said, does Jesus have white clothes and a sword coming out of his mouth and eyes like white hair? And he said to me, don't follow Muhammad. I took her to a meeting of our Arab congregation. She testified how Jesus, you should, all these old Arabs that were sitting there that have become believers that came out of nominal churches, another Muslim that got saved, that started jumping, the whole place started leaping up and down. The joy of the Lord hit the place. And we were singing, these are the days of Elijah in Arabic. Hallelujah. And it was Jews and Arabs together. Listen, God, that's what God is doing in these days. But you got to perceive it and participate in it. Now, let me finish with this. The salvation of Israel means the revival of the church like never before and the return of Jesus. If that isn't enough reason to get involved, I don't know what. Maybe you don't want revival. I don't know. I'm not talking to tombstones. I'm talking to a live church that is, hallelujah. And it means, that's what it means. It means the revival of the church and the final revival and the return of Jesus. Now listen to this great saint that is part of your legacy. His name was Samuel Rutherford. He's a great Puritan man. They said of Samuel Rutherford, the aura of Jesus on him was so that people had never met a man who was so in love with Jesus. This great Puritan named Samuel Rutherford. But in his writings, and I get some of those old Puritan writings and read them. Man, these guys love the Lord. Listen to what he said. Oh, to see the sight next to Christ coming in the clouds, the most joyful. Our elder brother, the Jews, and Christ fall upon one another's neck and kiss each other. Oh, they have long been separated. They will be kind to one another when they meet. Oh, day, oh, long for and lovely day dawn. Oh, sweet Jesus, let me see that sight, which will be as life from the dead. Thee and thy ancient people in mutual embraces. I could stay out of heaven many years to see that sight. This is the heart of a Gentile whose heart beats with Jesus for his ancient people. This is what we need. There's a boat. It's a call on this church. It's a mandate from the Lord. Will you take the lead? I love what it says out here about revival. Hallelujah. May there be a national revival when the boat starts to move into uncharted waters and say, we're going to go, even though there's people in the tombs over there that are all bound up, whether they're drug addicts, alcoholics, nominal Christians, Jews, Arabs, whoever they are, Muslims, and we're going to go where we've never been before, and we are going to stand beside the Lord of the whole earth, of Jews and Arabs in one body, a dwelling place for Jews and Gentiles, a dwelling place for God and the Spirit. I perceive it, I'll pray it, I'll prophesy it, I'll preach it, I'll participate in it, I'll publish it, and all these boats are going to follow us. May it be a great, great move that hits all the British Isles, the whole United Kingdom. Now, let me ask you this. You need a breakthrough in your life. We all do. If there's any anti-Semitism in your heart, look, I had it when I grew up. I heard all about it. The Jews are cursed. They get all the curses, and the Christians get all the blessings and all that stuff. If there's any of that, it's got to go. Look, the Jews need to get saved. They're a stiff-necked people. Let me tell you, I live there, you know. They need to get saved. And they need Jesus. And the way it's going to happen is through the Gentile church. And the time is now. So if you want to get on that in that new boat and go to that other side and leave stuff behind, whatever it is, whatever you're wrestling with this morning, whatever you know, I don't want to leave this place the way I came in. I want to be so new. I want such an anointing. I want such a tender heart. I want to be such an intercessor. I want to move in the prophetic. I want more anointing on my instruments. If that's you and you want to get in this boat and go forward, that other boats will follow you. Raise your hand. Okay, let's do this. Get out of your seats and come on up here. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray for a breakthrough. I'm going to pray for a breakthrough. I can't lay hands on all of you, but Jesus can touch you. You just come up as close as you can. God wants to launch this boat out, the ship of this church. Jesus is at the helm. Your pastors, your leaders, Pastor Colin and Pastor Clive are there with you, and the elders, the worship team. And as they went across the lake, they saw a storm. You're going to run into storms. I tell you, you start taking a stand for Israel, and you're going to run into storms in Europe. You need to be ready. And just stand on the Word of God and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. My wife has a piece on one of her CDs called The Lord of the Breakthrough. And can you play that? Do you have that racked up back there? Now you ask the Lord for a breakthrough. Lift up your hands. Raise your hands. Anti-Semitism, fall away. Fear of Islam, fall away. Fear, go in Jesus' name. Silence about the true church of Jesus Christ, fall away. Lord, breakthrough, 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 breakthrough. Lord, send the fire of your Spirit. Fire. Fire from Mount Carmel. Send the fire, Lord. Burn up every trace of sin. Let your light and glory in. Hallelujah. Lord, release this mandate. Release it, Lord. Lord, we will get in the boat. We'll get in it with you. I'm leaving the old way. I'm going on across the lake. I see the storm, but Jesus is with me. Fresh fire, new fire, new fire, the fire of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, move. Move upon us, fill us, change us, mold us, break us. Lord, we lift up Great Britain to you, Lord. Give them another chance, Lord. Lord, we repent for the past. Forgive us, Lord. Lord, release your anointing. Make us a merciful people. Give us your heart for Israel. Give us a heart like Samuel Rutherford. Like John Owen. Like William Carey, Lord. He loved the Jews. Hallelujah. Ask the Lord to work deep in your heart. Just speak to the Lord. Focus on Jesus. Just tell him, Lord, come deep into my heart. Make my heart fertile ground. Don't be satisfied with the 30-fold or the 60-fold. Ask for the 100-fold. The hour is late. It's now. It's now or never. It's now. This is the call on this generation. This is the call on you, no matter what your age is. You're here at this moment, at this time. God knew it before the foundation of the world. Your prayers can lead Jews to the Lord. Your prayers can lead Muslims to the Lord. Yes, hallelujah. We rebuke the enemy. Release the gift of faith, Lord. The gift of faith, Lord. Raise up intercessors, Lord. Lord, travail, the travail you've been giving me for Britain. Release it here, Lord. Impart it to people for Israel, for the Middle East, for the Muslims that are bound in England, in London. Hallelujah. 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 Pastor Clive, would you come up here and pray for our people? Pray for our nation. This one new man of Jew and Gentile together, the devil shakes in his boots, I'll tell you. Hallelujah. Because his time is short as the Jews turn to Jesus. And we're all part of this together. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you that you are not on anybody's side in particular. You're on your own side, and you're bringing all nations together under your purpose.
Yeah.
Father, I thank you that your heart is to save the nation of Israel, to bring that revelation of Jesus Christ as the Messiah to the Jewish people. Father, I thank you also as to break through the deception of Islam in the Muslim world, Father, that revelation of Jesus.
Yeah.
And Father, I thank you for that revelation into the Western world in particular, of that revelation that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life also. But Father, we just pray for the nation of Israel. Father, we thank you that you are working out your purposes amongst the political turmoil, amongst the agendas and the plans of men and all the different things. But Father, we thank you that ultimately you are working your purposes out in that nation. And we continue to stand alongside Israel with one heart and with one mind, with one spirit, saying, Father, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let your purposes and your plans be revealed, be unfolded, and be accomplished in that nation and through the nations of the world, because there's such an integral purpose of that nation as part of a global move, a global revival amongst the nations, restoring the nations back to you. Father, we thank you that the gospel first came to the Jews, that they are the fathers of the faith. We thank you that that gospel is being restored to that nation because you're provoking the Gentiles to provoke the Jews back to Jesus. And Father, we thank you for that intricate plan that you're working out right now. And Father, I thank you that you would enable us to perceive, each one of us individually, your purpose. There'd be such a conviction in our hearts, an understanding about what you're doing, that we would have such a love for your people, Israel, in a way we've never had before.
Hallelujah.
Father, I thank you for your saving purposes for that nation. Father, we love you. We love your people. We love the nation of Israel. We love what you are doing. But Father, we thank you for that one new man coming together. The Jew, the Gentile, the Arab, one new man coming together under God, the God of heaven and the God of the earth. We thank you for that one new man being restored in the nation of Israel, then across the nations of the world. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for your healing, your restoring purposes. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, I thank you for Pastor Clive. We pray this mantle of a mandate would come upon his shoulders. Lord, make him an under rower in this lead boat with Jesus, breaking new ground, breaking new territory, going further than ever before for the salvation of his people and for the people of Israel and Islam. Guard him and protect him. Guard his wife and children. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious on you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. Shine, Jesus, shine, and give you his shalom.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Let's pray for Pastor David and Karen and the whole team and what they're running with, but also what God wants to take them more into. Mm. It's just the beginnings. Yeah, just really sense that what you've seen is just the beginnings. There's signs of encouragement, and you see physically what God is doing. But God's like saying, this is just the beginnings of something that you've just dreamed about and longed for.
Oh, God.
Father, we thank you for this man of God. Mm. For his wife Karen, for their whole team. Father, we thank you for what you are unveiling in that nation at this time. Father, we thank you that you would prosper them and enable them to be fruitful like they've never seen before.
Yes.
And in John 15 it said you've been appointed to bear fruit, and fruit that's going to remain. Father, we thank you for the fruit that they are seeing. It's fruit that's going to remain. It's about a nation being transformed. It's about nations being transformed. It's about the purpose and the will of God being done on the earth today. It's an unfolding of prophecy in the days that we're alive right now. Father, I thank you for that bearing fruit and fruit that's going to remain. Father, I thank you for favor, the favor of God upon them in government, with authorities, with other people groups. Wherever they tread their feet, favor is going to be unfolded. Favor is going to be given. Fruitfulness is going to come forth and shine like it never has before. Father, I thank you for health, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, in every way. We just speak that health.
Thank you, Lord.
Strength and vitality, that fitness in every way. That prospering in every way. Father, I thank you that these guys are like a sharp arrow. They're like a plow that is sharp and just plowing new ground, breaking new ground, creating a wake that others are going to be drawn into and just pulled along into because of the power and the momentum of what you're doing through him and this whole team at this time. Father, we thank you for that prophetic anointing, that would increase and sharpen in every way. We thank you, Jesus, in song and in word and in action in every way. Father, I thank you for this man, for your anointing and the mantle that you placed upon him. Father, I thank you that your yoke is easy and your burden is light.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, I thank you for a throwing off of anything that is a wrong burden, a wrong heaviness, and just a fresh mantle of your anointing upon them, just that easy rider. Father, I thank you give him that easy rider anointing.
Amen.
It's just going to be easy riding the purposes, the waves of what you're doing.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Bless you.
Hallelujah.
Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Amen. Amen.